at verse 1. Mark chapter 1 at verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. With the Lord's help, we would focus upon these two words in the middle of the verse, Jesus Christ. The gospel tells us about the person and work of Christ. These glad tidings reveal the wonderful news, the good news, the gospel about a Savior, Christ the Lord, Jesus Christ. It tells us about this person, who he is, what he taught, and what he did. We need to know his teaching, but we won't understand his teaching without understanding and knowing him. So we have endeavored to consider the person of Christ last Sabbath. At the same time, while it is fundamental to know who he is and understand that he possesses two natures, divine and human, in the unity, the oneness of his person, so we also need to know why he took to himself a human nature. Why did the Son of God become the Son of Man? We need to know his person, but we also need to know his purpose. So having considered last Sabbath the person of Christ, we would now consider the office of Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The description of the Savior is specific and definite. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the evangelist Mark sets out to tell us the history of this person. But he tells us it is not a private individual, but one who is a public person. And the words, the names Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is not a personal name only, but an official title. He is one who holds a particular office. It is the office of mediator, the office of Savior. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is the one who claimed to be the anointed, promised, and divine deliverer of his people from their sins. We've already considered the words Son of God. Son of God, not in the lower sense of a creature, not in the higher sense of one who is intensely loved. They will reverence my son. Not merely one who is intensely loved, but in the highest sense of a divine person, one who partakes of the Godhead and has the relation of eternal sonship to the Father. The Son of God, the eternal Son of God, the only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the eternal Son of God. And now we would focus upon these two titles, Jesus Christ. Jesus meaning Savior, and Christ meaning the anointed. He is the anointed, promised, and divine deliverer of his people. First, we would think about the word Christ, the anointed one. And secondly, Jesus, the one who is the Savior of the lost. Well, Christ means anointed, one who is anointed with oil. It is the Greek equivalent of Messiah. Messiah means anointed. Christ is the Greek word meaning anointed. So Christ means the anointed one. And anointed, the word anointed means and points out Christ as the chosen one, the one who is appointed to the office of mediator, as well as being qualified, equipped, divinely enabled to perform this work. Anointed points out the fact that the Lord Jesus was separated to this office. Anointing is applied to the office of prophet, of priests, and kings in the Old Testament. And all these were anointed with oil, the symbol of the needful spiritual gifts. And so they were consecrated to their respective offices as prophet, as priest, as king. And it was applied to Christ in the most comprehensive sense, to the one who was promised to the people of Israel, the Messiah, and the one who would embrace all three offices, prophet, priest, and king, by the anointing, not with mere oil, but with the Holy Spirit. So the office of the Lord Jesus Christ is one that he was appointed to by the Father from all eternity, chosen and ordained from all eternity to be the mediator between God and men. In the Old Testament, the priests were separated, consecrated to the work they were appointed to do by being anointed. And to show that the fact of being anointed has to do with being separated and appointed to this work, it had to do even with things as well as persons. The altar was anointed with oil. In Exodus chapter 29 and verse 36, we read, And thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering for atonement, and thou shalt cleanse the altar when thou hast made an atonement for it, and thou shalt anoint it to sanctify it. So the altar was to be anointed that it might be sanctified. It was anointed that it might be set apart. It was consecrated. It was set apart for a specific end and purpose. So that is what anointing tells us. One who is anointed is also appointed. Anointed, therefore appointed. Appointed to a particular work. It also indicates that the one who is in that way set apart is set apart to an honorable position. At least one who is appointed for the Lord himself. David, speaking of King Saul, refers to him as the Lord's anointed. Let us not touch the Lord's anointed. We must have special regard for him. But again, it also, being anointed, tells us about the qualifying that the Lord does for that individual. The Lord equips, qualifies, enables to do this particular work. When David, the shepherd boy, was anointed to be king over Israel, we read that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. 1 Samuel 16 and 13. So prophets, at least one in Scripture, and priests and kings were anointed with oil. So they were set apart for that office. In 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 16, we read that Elisha was anointed with oil. And Jehu the son of Nimshi thou shalt anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. So Elijah was going to anoint Elisha to be prophet. The Lord Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit to be prophet. The prophet who would reveal to us by his word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. When he was baptized at the Jordan River, we read in verse 10 of our chapter, and straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And we read in John chapter 3 and verse 34 that God gave the Holy Spirit to the Son of God, without measure. So the Holy Spirit is given to Christ immeasurably, an immeasurable fullness. To those who have grace, the Holy Spirit is given in a measure, limited measure. But for Christ, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, a divine person, the Holy Spirit was given to him without measure, an unlimited giving or gift of the Spirit to the Lord Jesus. So that he says in Isaiah chapter 61, which he reads in Nazareth, and says that this was pointing to him, and he himself was the fulfillment of it. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach. So the Lord Jesus is a prophet. A prophet gives a message, God's word. Thus saith the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. And so on. The Lord Jesus is the great prophet to reveal to us by his word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. So it becomes us to pay close attention to the Lord Jesus as he speaks to us in his word. He reveals to us the will of God for our salvation. Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, qualified, equipped by the power of the Spirit to speak the words of God. And he was also appointed to the office of priest. We read in Leviticus chapter 8 and verses 10 to 12, Moses poured of the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. So Aaron was set apart to be high priest. The anointing oil symbolized that. He was set apart for that. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is appointed to this work as the great high priest to offer up himself a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice and reconcile us to God and to make continual intercession for us. He was set apart, anointed, appointed, and qualified, equipped, divinely enabled to do this work, to offer himself through the eternal Spirit without spot to God, so that your conscience and mine would be purged from sin if we trust in him. And he is offered to you freely, without money and without price. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Christ is offered to you. Come to Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He will give you rest in your conscience, peace through his blood. Because that's why he came, to offer up himself a sacrifice, He was appointed to this work. Christ, the Anointed One, anointed and so appointed to this work, set apart to the work of the great High Priest, offering himself a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice and purchase reconciliation, as well as make intercession for all, for everyone who will come to him. And finally, he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As we already quoted 1 Samuel 16:13, where Samuel takes the horn of oil and anoints David in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. And of course, David is the great type of Christ. David was appointed king over Israel, and the Lord Jesus is the son of David. He is the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. He is the great king. The Lord Jesus executes the office of king in subduing us to himself, in ruling and defending us, and in restraining and conquering all his and our enemies. Well, let us go on to consider the title, the name Jesus, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We read in Matthew chapter 1, when Joseph was confused about his duty, or at least he had purposed to do a certain thing, but his mind is changed, and when he has the dream, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For, here is the reason you will call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, the name Jesus is from the Hebrew Jehoshua, as we gather from Numbers chapter 13 and verse 16. Later on, after the captivity in Babylon, it was contracted and the name was Jeshua. We see that in Nehemiah chapter 7 and verse 7. The meaning of the name Jehoshua or Jeshua is Jehovah the Savior. So Jesus is the Greek equivalent of Jehoshua or Jeshua, and Jesus means Jehovah the Savior. The Lord Jesus is the Savior, for he shall save his people from their sins. And the emphasis in this verse is on the word he, for he shall save his people from their sins. For he it is, he himself shall save his people from their sins. The other deliverers in the Old Testament, they were only instruments. But the Lord Jesus is the Savior. He himself shall save his people from their sins. Is this not a precious name? Jesus. The very meaning of the name Jesus is that he will save. As one says, David Brown says, to the awakened and anxious sinner, it is the sweetest and most fragrant of all names, expressing so melodiously and briefly his whole saving office and work. And that's what we're considering, the office of Christ, the work of Christ, what he came to do. We considered his person on Sabbath evening. Tonight we're thinking about his office, his work. Of course, we must always consider the person and work of Christ if we would be saved. Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That is exactly what he came to do. That's why God sent him. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. How thankful we should be that the express purpose, the object in view that Christ had, that the Father had in sending the Son, was to save. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world sinners to save. The emphasis there is on save. That's why it's good to look in the Greek. The words are exactly sinners to save. We might have thought the emphasis was on sinners, to save sinners. Well, that's one way to emphasize we should be thankful that he came to save sinners and not the righteous. But the emphasis is on save. He came sinners to save. He shall save his people from their sins. Jehovah the Savior. Yes, we read in Song of Solomon chapter 1 and verse 3, because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. That's why sinners love Christ when they are awakened, because he came to save them. When they are enlightened by the power of the Spirit, they recognize that in Jesus there is salvation. Have you come to see that, friend? Is the name of Jesus precious to you? Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Is sin a burden to you? He came to save sinners. And he came sinners to save. Is salvation precious to you? You may not know if you have been enlightened in your mind in the knowledge of Christ, but you may truly know whether you have been awakened. Are you terrified in your conscience about the reality of hell? Well, listen to Hebrews chapter 1. The Lord Jesus is himself the Savior. What a wonder it is that the Son of God came into this world. The angels worship him when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world. He was the Son of God before he came into the world. When he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith that let all the angels of God worship him. Are you worshiping him tonight? What else do we know about the Son of God? Who being the brightness of his glory, verse 3, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. What else do we know? When he had by himself, there it is. He himself shall save his people from their sins. When he had by himself purged our sins. No one else could do it. No one else would do it. No one else could possibly do it. But Christ can. The one who is appointed to that work. His very name is Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. When he had by himself purged our sins. When he had by himself did what was necessary to purge away sin. He suffered on the cross. He died the death that sin deserves. He satisfied divine justice. He purchased reconciliation. He turns away the wrath of God because he is a propitiation for our sins. When he had by himself, he alone could do it. And he did do it when he had by himself purged our sins. He finished the work. He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Yes, because he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus. Is that name not precious to you? It should be. It is as ointment poured forth that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ, the one who is the divinely appointed, promised, divine deliverer, the Savior, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Have you not seen it? Is his name not precious to you? Are you not drawn to him? Well, as we said already on Sabbath evening, be thankful, friend, that he came to give sight to the blind. Perhaps you feel that you're not as convinced of sin and misery as you ought to be. Your conscience does not register at you as it used to. You do not feel the terrors of God's wrath. And we all know that being in a numb condition is no preparation for salvation. To be hardened in our hearts, that does not bring you closer to heaven. We're not saying that there's any merit in being convinced and convicted and being terrified, but you're in a much readier position to receive grace when you know that you need it. But the Lord Jesus can give you that sight and sense of sin that you need. And not only that, but also to open your eyes to see the loveliness, the glory of the Lord Jesus, his suitability. He has done exactly what was necessary for the salvation of sinners. He obeyed the law that you and I have broken. Remember, the law was ordained for life. You and I have broken it. We cannot receive life by the law, but the Lord Jesus has obeyed the law perfectly to purchase, as it were, to merit life. But not only did he obey the law, which is what you and I need, he suffered the wrath of God. That's what we need. And he's able to show you that suitability that is in himself as he is a Savior adapted to your need, and that you would be drawn to him. Will you not fall down before him and worship him and welcome him? Will it be said of you that he came to you and you did not receive him? Do not reject him. Take him for yourself as your Savior. Receive him. Rest on him for salvation. But do you feel that you are bound by sin? You feel the principle of sin stirring, seeking to have complete, total dominion over you? Whether you are converted or not, you know that sin is seeking the mastery over you. And you feel that one day you will be like David and perish by the hand of Saul. Be thankful that Christ came to preach deliverance to the captives. That is what he tells his acquaintances in Nazareth. When he reads the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives." He was appointed for this very work, to preach good tidings. Yes, to preach deliverance to the captives, those who feel bound and imprisoned by sin, and the old man seeking total dominion over them. But look to Christ. "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And he, by his Spirit, is able to break the dominion of sin. That is why he came. That's why he is risen. See him in the veil. See him interceding for everyone who comes to God by him, that he would bring about complete victory over the principle of sin, the old man within, by the Holy Spirit. The very root of lust is consumed. And at death, when believers arrive in heaven, at that moment of their death, the old man is annihilated, and they are made perfect in holiness, immediately passing into glory. The Lord Jesus came for that end, for that purpose, to preach deliverance to the captives, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Do you feel sin as to its guilt, a great burden. You have failed. You have broken the law. Your conscience accuses you. Thou art the man. And are you grieved in heart? Is your heart broken on account of sin? The Lord Jesus came. He was appointed to this work. He is Jesus Christ. He came to heal the brokenhearted. Be amazed that this is the very reason he came. See him rise up from the stern of the boat in the stormy lake to speak peace. He had control over the raging elements. He says, "Peace, be still." And he's able to say, "Peace, be still," to your troubled conscience, and to give comfort, for he has said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." He is able to heal your soul, to bind up your broken heart, that you would feel peace in your soul, that you would be strengthened, being bound up and strengthened to go on in the ways of the Lord. He will speak peace to his people. Yes. And these things are written, as John says, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. May he bless his word. Let us pray.